بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على السيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما كثيرا. وصلى الله على محمد. أما بعد، respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we are continuing in the series of lectures on the chapter Kitab al-Buyu, or the business transactions. And the chapter that we began a few lessons ago is the chapter on the conditions and what is forbidden in business. What are the conditions and types of things that are forbidden to deal with in the business? And our last lesson was about the prohibition of selling of swine and also the idols. How the scholars, they said that if somebody has an idol or wants to sell the idols, and similar to that is selling things such as crosses and things that are religious objects, they're prohibited to sell them. And it's not that the idol or the stone itself is impure, but it's because there's no benefit in those idols. There's no religious or worldly benefit in those things. And we mentioned the story of a Sahabi who used to take the idols and break them. They were made of wood, he would break them into pieces, and then he would give them to a woman who was poor, and she used it for firewood. So it's allowed to use the idol if it's broken down and it's no longer in its form that is used for worship. But the idol itself, in its form that it's worshipped, it is forbidden to sell that or to deal with it or use it. So inshallah today we'll review the hadith again and then move on to some other subjects in this chapter about selling. وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول عام الفتح وهو بمكة إن الله ورسوله حرم بيع الخمر والميتة والخنزير والأصنام. فقيل يا رسول الله أرأيت الشحوم الميتة فإنها تطلى بها السفن وتدهن بها الجلود ويستصبح بها الناس، فقال لا هو حرام. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند ذلك قاتل الله اليهود، إن الله لما حرم عليهم شحومها جملوها ثم باعوه فأكلوا ثمنه. متفق عليه. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah and His Messenger have forbidden selling of the alcohol, the intoxicants, the khinzir, the swine, the dead animals, and the idols. So one of the Sahabi, when he heard this, he said, O Messenger of Allah, what about the fat of the dead animals? We use them to paint our ships, and we also use the fat to put in our lanterns to make light. So he said, no, it is haram. And then after a moment he said, may Allah curse the Yahud. They, when they were forbidden from using the fat of such animals, they melted it and then sold it and usurped the price of that fat. The hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So beloved brothers in Islam, what we began last time talking about was the prohibition of selling idols. And the scholars, they say that anything that does not bring benefit to people in their deen or in their dunya, not in terms of the sharia, in terms of religious benefit, or in the dunya, in terms of their cultural benefit, then it is forbidden to sell such an item. It is not allowed to sell an item that has no use, either religiously or worldly. And so, for example, they said it's forbidden to sell musical instruments, because musical instruments, they do not bring any religious benefit, they're not allowed to use, and they bring no worldly benefit. They actually corrupt the soul, as the scholars mentioned. Musical instruments, they entice the soul and corrupt it. So the ulama say that selling musical instruments is also forbidden because it brings no benefit to the people. And likewise, any other type of game. They said even cards and dice and even chess. Some of the ulama, they forbade all of these things because they bring no benefit. They waste they're a wastage of time and energy. However, some of the ulama, they permitted the selling of cards because they said it, a person can learn math. They can, if they play, they might learn how to do the math and it will give them some benefit. And they permitted using chess because they said that a person who plays the chess, he might train himself in how to command the forces of an army. So he learns the skill of planning and planning ahead and using the army and using it in various ways. So some of them, they permitted it with that intention, in order for a person to learn, you know, the control of armies and how to lead an army. However, they all agree that the musical instruments bring no benefit, not in the deen or in the dunya, so it is forbidden to sell them. Because it's similar to the idols in that they have no benefit for people. When it comes to chess and cards and dice, some of the ulama forbade all of them. Because they said, what benefit does it bring to people? Is there any benefit? Most of the ulama said there's no benefit. But some of the scholars, they said, if you play chess, you might learn the skill of stratagem, how to strategize, and how to use the army. So then they allowed it with that, for that purpose, because there is some benefit in it. Another category that the scholars say is forbidden is animals such as snakes. Selling the snake does not bring a person any benefit in the deen, of course, and nor in the dunya. And so they said it's forbidden to sell animals like snakes that have no benefit unless it's for a medicinal purpose. Because sometimes they have snake farms and they actually use the venom of snakes as a cure for a snake bite. Actually, the venom of the snake is the antidote to his bite. They can use some of that venom to make medicine. Some types of medicine they're taken from snake venom, and they actually help cure a person from certain illnesses. So actually, in a small quantity, the snake venom can be a cure. In a large quantity, it's a poison. So if there's a worldly benefit, right, to using the venom, so then it's allowed to raise the snakes on a farm and sell it. But if somebody wants to buy a snake to harm another person, to bite him, or to use a snake to scare people, or to entertain people, or for playing and entertainment purpose, this is not allowed. Because it's bringing no benefit in the deen or in the dunya. And likewise, the scholars, they make another example, or similar example, is insects. Selling the insects that have no benefit for people, unless they can be used for some beneficial purpose, these are things that have no benefit. And again, the reason why they're forbidden is because the Prophet ﷺ forbade selling anything that has no benefit for people. It's not allowed to sell these items. Because he forbade the idols, and likewise, these other things are similar to that. Now we come to the ruling on what about the fat of a dead animal. We know that when an animal died without being slaughtered properly, its meat is impure, it's not allowed to eat it. But when the Sahaba, they heard this, the Prophet ﷺ, he said he forbade selling the dead animal because, of course, there's no benefit in the dead meat. Can't eat it, right? So there's no benefit in it. But they said, Ya Rasulullah, what about the fat of the dead animal? Because the fat has a purpose. We don't eat it, but we use it to put on the outside of a ship. Because the fat, it repels water. And the wood, if the water enters the pores of the wood, it destroys the wood and causes it to become ruined. So they used to put the fat on the outside of the ships to repel the water repellent. And they would also put it in between the different boards, along with some cotton. They would stuff the openings between the boards and then put fat on top of it. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand that selling the meat is haram because there's no benefit in it. But what about the fat? We use it to cover our ships. There's a benefit in it. And also we use it to melt it and put it in the lanterns. In the old days, I still remember when I was a kid when we had no electricity, they had these oil lanterns. We fill it up with the oil and you put a wick inside and it would, the gravity or the flame would suck the oil up and it would burn the oil. And it was useful to make a light when we don't have electricity. And the best oil is the olive oil. Allah, He talks about, in the Surah Ayat al-Nur, He talks about how the light of Allah is like a lantern lit from olive oil. It produces no smoke. Its light is very shiny and very clear. So the fat can be used for the ship and it can be used for the lantern. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, can we use it for the... They said, Ya Rasulullah, what about us using it for the ships or for the lanterns? Are we allowed to use the maita, the dead? So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, La huwa haram. La huwa haram. So here the scholars, they had to look at the statement. When the Prophet ﷺ said, La huwa haram, it is haram. What did he mean? Is it haram to sell the fat? Did he mean huwa means selling the fat is haram? Or did he mean it's haram to use the fat? And here the scholars, they differed. Some of them, they said it's haram to sell the fat. You know, trafficking or making profit off of dead fat because it's something that's meta. But if they allowed it to be used, if somebody has some fat, they can use it. They're allowed to make use of the fat. A person can make use of it, but they shouldn't sell it. Some of the ulama, when they looked at the word, no, it is haram, they thought it meant, no, the fat itself is haram, it's najis. You can't use it for the ships, you can't use it for the lanterns. So they interpreted it as meaning the fat itself is completely forbidden and haram. Depending on the way they understood the words of the Prophet ﷺ. So the exception to the rule, some of the ulama, if they interpreted it to mean that selling it is haram, they allow using the fat of the dead animal for the lanterns and for the ships. It's allowed to do that. Also from the dead animal, it's allowed to sell the fur of the dead animal and the hair and the wool that comes off of the dead animal. And the scholars all agree that is permissible. Because Allah, He forbade the maita in the Qur'an. He said it's not allowed to eat maita. But in another verse, He said you take from their fur, their wool and their hair, furniture and some comfort for them. So the Qur'an clarifies itself by other verses. Where Allah forbade the maita, the dead meat or the dead animal, but He allowed the fur and the wool and the hair of the animals. So it's allowed to sell that. Somebody has some wool that came from a dead animal, they can sell that. It's not considered meita, it's not considered dead. And the reason for that is that when you cut something off from a live animal, when you cut off the hair and the fur, is the hair alive when you cut it? The hair, the fur, the wool, does a sheep feel anything when you're cutting its hair? It doesn't feel it. So it's not actually alive. It's not actually alive, so it doesn't become dead when you cut it off. There is a hadith that whenever you cut something off a live animal, it becomes dead. Not just, you can't use it. But that's referring to cutting the leg off, or cutting the arm or something like that, then it'll become dead. But the hair and the fur, you're not cutting it from the live part of the animal, it's already dead. So there's no harm in using that. So that's an exception to the dead animal. Some ulama said you can use the meat of the animal. I'm sorry, not the meat, the fat. But you shouldn't sell it. Some ulama, they allow the bones. That's another issue. Some ulama, they all allow the fur and the wool of the animal as well as the hairs of the animal. The last thing that the scholars talk about that's allowed from the dead animal is the skin. The skin of the dead animal. Because the dead animal, the skin is najis, right? If the animal dies, the skin is najis, isn't it? Right? Because the skin is along with the rest of the body, right? It's najis, it's dead. But when you take that skin and you dry it out, they have different chemicals, they're called tanning. They put some chemicals on it, they put some, sometimes they use lotus leaves, sometimes they use salt, sometimes they use wood. Whatever they use, it removes all of the blood and all of the moisture from the skin, then it becomes dried out. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if the skin is tanned, it becomes pure. So you can also use the skin of a dead animal. It's allowed to do that. It's permitted to sell that, provided that it's become dried out and it's become purified. So the skin of a dead animal is allowed as long as it becomes purified. One last thing. And we'll close with this. What about the tusks of an elephant? elephant has tusks, right? So ivory, yes, the ivory of the elephant. Is it allowed to take the tusks of a dead elephant and use it? The tusks, are the tusks alive or are they dead? See, this is a tough question. Because if you say the tusks are like the teeth are actually alive.
The tusk is not alive.
But the tusk, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, you can use the tusk of a dead elephant because there's no life in it. The elephant, the tusk, the ivory, it's like a horn, yeah, it doesn't have any life in it. So it's allowed to use that from the dead animal. It's allowed to use that, you know, the tusk of the dead elephant because it doesn't have life in it. It's like the horns or like the talons and things like that, the nails, they don't have any life in it. And so it doesn't become najis when the animal dies. Right? An elephant dies, the whole body is najis, but you can use its tusks, or you could use its skin if you're able to tan it. And the fat, according to some ulama, you can use it for your own personal use, but you shouldn't trade and sell with it. It's not allowed to profit from something that Allah made haram. So some ulama said it's even not even allowed to use it for your own benefit. Because the Prophet said, La huwa haram. And they say it means the fat itself is haram, it's najis. Whereas other ulama, they said what he meant is la, selling it is haram. Because you're profiting and trying to get around the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Yahud had done. So he said don't do that. But you can make your own personal use of it, inshaAllah. So these are some of the rulings regarding the things that are forbidden to sell because they have no benefit. The dead meat of the animal has no benefit. Chess and poker, those games, cards and dice, they have no benefit unless it's used for stratagem, and also selling snakes and insects and animals that have no benefit to people, it's not allowed to sell those things, inshallah ta'ala, because in Islamic law we can only sell and take money for something that benefits people. We're not allowed to sell people things that have no benefit and take money from them. That's not permitted in Islamic law. And the proof of that is that the Prophet ﷺ forbade selling of the idols. Not allowed to sell the idols because they don't benefit people. They just, they don't hear or they have no benefit. So they're forbidden, inshallah ta'ala. So this is some of the rulings, inshallah, in Islamic law. May Allah reward you and benefit you with the knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. Is there any questions about the things that are allowed to sell and they have no benefit? Things like that. You're allowed to buy it. If it's allowed to, if it's forbidden to sell it, then same thing, it's forbidden to buy it. Because you're helping the other person do something sinful. You're selling it, you're giving them money for it.
Another ruling on using the skin of haram animals?
The words of the Prophet ﷺ is when the skin, the hide of an animal is tanned, it becomes purified. It's very general. So the ulama, they said, any animal skin, whether it's an edible animal, sheep or goat, or whether it's a not edible animal, such as a tiger or lion, it becomes purified. The pig and the dog. Okay, these are two separate. The pig, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he said even the pig can become purified. He believed that. That's a ruling he himself had. His companions, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad Shaybani, they didn't agree with that. But he said that the skin of the pig could be purified. He didn't really consider it skin. He said the pig doesn't really have a skin. But he considered that a ruling that it will become purified. Even the pig could become purified. But the Hanafi school in general, they say the pig cannot be purified. Sometimes Abu Hanifa had a ruling and his school had a different ruling. So the school of Abu Hanifa, they said no pig.
So if you buy leather from market, you do not know which animal.
Right, right. The Hanafi school says the pig cannot be purified. Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i said the pig and the dog skin can never be purified. Imam Abu Dawud al-Zahiri, he was one of the great scholars in Spain, he had the Zahiri school, he said every skin becomes purified. So there's difference of opinion amongst the ulama. There's some leeway in that regard. There's some difference amongst them. So if you buy it, the skin from the marketplace, you don't know if it's dog or pig or cow, then to be on the safe side, you can avoid it, unless it says cowhide. But if somebody already bought it and they have the jacket at home, and he can go by the leeway that says that it's allowed, everything becomes purified, every skin becomes purified, and he doesn't have to throw it out or get rid of it. That's the issue here. That if somebody has that pig, the jacket, they don't know what it is. If we go by the strict opinion of the mainly the form of dahit, then their prayer would be invalidated, or the prayer would be it's haram to pray in that jacket. But there isn't a view that even the pig becomes purified. Even the pigskin becomes purified. So there's a difference of opinion on so on. So if somebody's worried about it or wants to be on the safe side, just take the jacket, put it down, and then pray. Don't pray on the jacket, because then you're praying on something else that might be impure. But if somebody's doing that, or you see somebody wearing the jacket, you shouldn't really condemn them, because there is a leeway for them. There is a leeway for them.
Yeah, what is the ruling about the unborn baby of sheep?
Okay.
They use that skin
first. Yes. The unborn child, there's two views. The majority say that when the mother is slaughtered, then the animal becomes halal in the womb. But Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he said you have to slaughter even in the womb, what's in the womb separately.
Normally they kill that animal and then they slaughter the animal and then they take out the baby.
Right, yes. Yeah, that's kind of terrible. They should wait till the baby's born and then slaughter it. But maybe they didn't know. Sometimes that happens. So then the majority say that it will be halal, because when the parent is slaughtered, then it becomes halal. Yeah. Yes. MashaAllah. Oh my goodness, very good question. Very, very smart question. Why is it haram to eat the pig? We mentioned last time that pigs, they have worms that go in the, they're very bad worms, that go inside the meat of a person. Very, very bad kind of worms that affect the muscles of a person, like a disease, very dirty disease. So if you eat that pig and those worms go in your body, they make you sick. Right? So no other animal carries those worms. No other animal has that kind of worms that go in the flesh. They have other animals that have worms that go in your stomach. They have tapeworms. They're very easy to get rid of. You just eat some medicine and then you get killed. But the worms that affect the flesh, the only way they can remove it is opening by surgery, opening the skin and then pulling the worms out one by one. Very, very bad kind of disease they have. That's the main reason. Allah, He forbade it. He knows why, and He has the wisdom why everything He forbade for us. But you can look at it from this angle that the pig is a very dirty animal, and he has so many diseases inside of him, and also he has some bad behaviors, and that's another reason, that spiritual reason that affects a person who eats him. Good question. Did I answer your question? Understand her a little bit? Okay. MashaAllah. Yes, brother.
Selling chips, like making chips nowadays from the pork skin and crackling and different.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes under the heading of selling the khinzir pig. It's not allowed to sell the khinzir. Yeah. If it's real pig, it's not just the flavoring or artificial flavor. But if it's real, actual khinzir pig, then it wouldn't be allowed in that case. Pig, the whole pig is najis from head to foot. Everything is najis, even the skin. But the scholars, they say that you wouldn't become impure unless your hand was wet or the pig was wet. because impurity only transfers if one of the two sides has moisture on it. But if something dried up and then he just touched it with something dry, it doesn't transfer. So if somebody, he touched the pig and his hand was wet, then his hand would become najis. You have to wash it off. Yeah, I believe there's a difference of opinion amongst on the dog, whether his, of course the saliva, no doubt the saliva is impure, according to almost all of the ulama, except Imam Malik. But the rest of the ulama, they said the dog saliva has to be washed 7 times, once with dirt. Except Imam Malik, he said that you still have to wash it 7 times, once with dirt, but not because it's a religious impurity, but because it's a health benefit or a physical reason. Imam Malik didn't consider the dog saliva impure. He considered it physically dirty, and you remove it or you cleanse it for health reasons, but not because it's a religious impurity. So if the dog, if it just the fur touches you and it's not, your hand's not wet, it won't attract you. But if it licks you, then you have to wash it and remove it. If he licks your clothes?
Legs or,
yeah, the moisture of the nose, or yeah, it's considered impure. The person has to wash it 7 times, 1 time in dirt. Yes, Patty. So anybody have a question? Any other question?
What about,
yes,
about men? Am I supposed to
men? Right, right. There is many hadith that forbid selling dogs, selling a cat, things like that. Yeah, selling
fish,
right. Fish and bird. There's a specific hadith about the cat and the dog. Some ulama, they allowed selling the dog, the trained dog, because it has a benefit. It can catch the animals for you and guard you and take care of the sheep. So if it's a trained dog, not just a pet dog, of course we're not allowed to have pet dogs. Right? We're not allowed to have the pet poodles and things like that. Only the, we're allowed to have a keep a pet cat, but we shouldn't trade in it or make it a profitable business to sell the cats and the dogs. The fish, you can sell fish because you can eat. You eat fish, right? So if it's just for show, I don't know. I haven't heard anything, said about the fish itself. The pet, because the certain pets, it might be israf. People spend a lot of money on a tropical bird and then taking care of it and things like that might go to that extent. I don't know any specific hadith that says it's not allowed to buy a fish or a bird. I don't know that. Because there is lawful entertainment, like some things that bring benefit, like for example, some things that are allowed in terms of a person derive some benefit from it. Like they said chess, some of the ulama said if the person through chess they learn strategy. So maybe somebody can say, there's some benefit in having a bird. They have a person to have a conversation with them. They get lonely or something like that. So Allahu A'lam, But the snake is only harmful. Right? There's a difference between
snakes are also poisonous air from the air. People make leather from the snake.
Right. But the snake is considered impure. Even the leather of the skin is impure. Generally speaking. And the snake, it might bite a person, poison him, or cause harm to a person. They might be sleeping, go around his neck, and wake up with a snake on his neck. So,
I'm asking this question on somebody's behalf.
Yes.
What about the snake skin and the gator skin shoes and belts and stuff like that? Can you go on
a bear? Right. I believe, the snake skin is not allowed because the snake, there's specific texts that talk about, snake is najis. A snake is not allowed to eat it or anything like that, so it's impure. So the skin, you can't tan the skin of the snake. It's already dry. It's like, I don't know. I don't know, you know, I haven't really heard, but what I've read in some places, they shouldn't really use it for. You can't tan it, so it's just inherently impure. There's no way to make it.
Needs to be tanned before making that jacket.
Right, right. But a snake skin it doesn't tan, it's already dried out.
It needs to be treated.
It might be treated, Allahu A'lam, I don't know.
There is a treatment there for every
making this skin. Yeah. Allahu A'lam, because the snake is not just by itself.
Because that skin, it will go off.
Oh, I see. Well, I haven't, I haven't read, but as far as I know, they say that the snake is impure, and, along with that, the skins and things like that. One of those best, but I can look into it for you if you can tan a snake.
Either way, they're very expensive. I don't know anything for
it. Thailand, they're using the skin, the whole dragon.
Oh,
I see. Belts and everything.
Oh, really? Oh, I see. Yeah. So those things, normally they would be impure, because the animals themselves are impure animals. But, if we go by the ruling that any skin, if it's tanned, it becomes purified. But then you have to look at, can you tan a lizard skin? That's a different issue. That's something that we have to research, inshallah, look into, get back to.
One question about the hatred against the snake.
Actually, it's sunnah to get rid of the pigs, to kill them. That's actually correct to do that. Now, Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he'll kill all the pigs. Yeah. So the pig is, unfortunately, and one of the negative aspects of education in Muslim countries, they're trying to take away the natural fitrah of dislike for the pig. So they have Miss Piggy, and they have the Winnie the Pooh and the Piglet, and they try to put these in the minds of the people. But a pig is khinzir, is an impure animal. And it has, they do that. I read this from some of the ulama. They said that this is actually taking place where we should raise our children to hate what Allah made haram and to love what Allah made haram. So gradually they want to change most of the values of our Muslim youth. So they love what Allah made haram and hate what Allah made halal. Right. So the pig, when Isa alayhi salam comes, he'll kill the pigs. And there's some texts that say to kill the pig. And there's great harm in them. They spread diseases and things like that. So, and since there's no value, we can't eat them. We can't take any benefit from them. So there's no value in them. Yes, brother? I have to look into that one, inshallah. I'll get back to you next time, inshallah. Yes, brother?
Isn't that
torture?
It is an animal.
Torturing? Well, we're not allowed to torture an animal.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to. Yeah. Yeah, we're not allowed to. But slaughtering doesn't torture.
Let them live in the exile.
It's okay. Isa alayhi salam, he's going to purify the earth when he comes down. And so that's a type of impurity, that they're... So, and then if you say that, leave them, then they reproduce. So they have pigs everywhere.
But is there any ruling that Isa alayhi salam will kill all the bad people, so that doesn't mean we should go out and kill all the bad people.
Well, this is what we have to look at, with the way the ulama interpret the hadith. I mean, Isa alayhi salam, he will fight against the Dajjal, right? And the Muslims also, they have to defend their deen and spread Islam, and according to the correct way and the correct methodology. So, and of course, Muslim, he doesn't violate his oaths and his treaties. A Muslim lives here in safety in a foreign land, not allowed to go and hurt and kill people. Likewise, you can't go to your neighbor's yard and kill his pig. Right? Hey, get your gun, and that's not allowed, because they have their own, certain guidelines and laws that we have to abide by. So yeah, from that sense, no, I'm not, that's not what the ulama would say, go and find anybody's pig and But in a Muslim land, for example, you know, it's a Muslim country and the pigs are wild and things like that, and it's allowed to clean them or exterminate them. If they kill them in a humane way, you know, not torturing them, but in a humane way. I mean, Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah loves goodness in all things, even when you slaughter, use the sharpest knife. No, even in slaughtering animals, there's ihsan, there's a good way to do it. So, but yes, we don't want to be affected by certain media culture where they praise and exalt the pigs. You know, because for them, pig is halal and they eat it and they enjoy it and they live with it and they haven't. So they're making something halal that Allah made halal. So we don't want to be affected by that mentality. Well, this, you know, the pig, if it had a benefit, then there would be no cleansing and killing of them by Isa alayhi salam. Right? If it had a benefit, so there's no benefit in them.
Because you see so many people are corrupted by it, and because of that, they will go to hell.
Yeah, so like, for example, brother said alcohol, right? Allah, he created alcohol, and we still have to destroy it if we find it. Right? If you find some grape juice and it fermented and became alcohol, we still have to destroy it. So just the fact that Allah created something doesn't mean that it's good or that we should accept it or, you know, allow kufr.
Yeah, but I don't know if Allah means it's the
So Allah, He created kufr, right? He allowed kufr to exist, but it doesn't mean that we should, if we have a chance to stop kufr from being done or shirk from being done, we should do that. We should try to stop it.
How did they start eating it? How did they start eating it?
Start eating the pig? How did they start eating it? Well, in the Bani Israel, the Yahud were forbidden to eat the pig. And it says, and you know, they were not allowed to eat the pig. And also Isa alayhi forbade the pig. But then people who came about afterwards, they made the innovation and they changed the law and they allowed to eat the pigs. They made it permissible. But if you look in the original text, all of them say the pig is forbidden. The original text, we don't have the original text, but if we look in their text, even the current day text, they say that, you know, the flesh of the swine is forbidden for you and, you know, it's forbidden. So there's people who came by afterwards and they wanted to profiteer and things like that, make profits, so they changed the rulings and they made it permissible for people. Some questions? Okay. Any other questions? Inshallah.
Yes.
They
said that he started to land and he stopped the jizya.
Yes.
So we don't have any jizya right now. You know, you don't see any part of the world, you know, it's still jizya.
Yes.
So what is going to become that situation that the non-Muslims there are going to start paying the media and it's going to stop?
Yes, that's what the apparent meaning of the text is, that there will be people, non-Muslims, paying jizya that are allowed to live with the Muslims and have that contract. When Isa alayhi salam comes, then it's either everybody either accept the Islam or you're from the disbelieving kuffar. So there's no choice, there's no allowance anymore of people to disbelieve. Right, no more jizya will be abolished. So either people will join with the Muslims at that time or they will be against with the Dajjal. There'll only be two forces at that time. Forces of the Dajjal and forces of Isa alayhi salam and the Muslims. And then they'll be in conflict and Allah will give victory to Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, and the Dajjal will be destroyed and everybody will be Muslim at that time. Does that come to okay? Any other questions? Yes, brother.
You don't, you're not ready for this. Isn't that see that Jews will be following, you know, Dajjal? They'll be on his side?
Yes, that's right. There will be a large number of the followers of the Dajjal will be from the Yahud, especially from Isfahan. Some texts they mention that in Iran there will be a number of Yahud that will follow the Dajjal, they'll be in his supporters and his army. There is still a large number of them. Yes, still now? Yes, that's true. But you know, some of the Jewish people accepted Islam.
There's no native Jews. The one who's going and working.
You know, some of the Jewish people accepted Islam. Like a rabbi, you know, Abdullah ibn Salam. He was a big rabbi, and he was a chief rabbi of Medina. He accepted Islam. And, you know, you heard of Leopold Weiss. I don't know if you heard of him. Muhammad Asad. He was Jewish. And his grandfather, I think, was a rabbi. And he wrote he became Muslim, he traveled in the Middle East, and then he wrote many books on Islam. So, you know, for the Jewish people, we should still try to give them dawah, inshallah. Try to get
to Islam. His dad was a rabbi.
Really?
He was a Jew, he was born Jew.
He went to Al-Azhar, I lost track of that. Brother told me that there was a Jewish lady that came to the masjid in Dallas. She wanted to find out about Muslims. She was sent by the synagogue. So when she came, and this was just happened recently actually, brother can confirm this. There's a Jewish lady came from the synagogue to learn about Islam or to find out about the Muslims and report back to the synagogue. So when she heard about Islam, she said, "This is a haq." She became Muslim.
True story.
And then she married the Imam.
What's
his name?
Imam
Mu'taz, right?
For 27 years, yeah.
Imam Mu'taz. Subhanallah. So Allah changed her heart, you know? Yeah. Subhanallah. So, some people. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh Mu'taz, right? So, you know, that's people who got Allah guides whom He pleases. You know, could be from any religion. Allah open their hearts. Yes?
Did Shaitan make the people evil?
Of course. Of course, you know, the Shaitan, he loves to beautify evil things to people. Yeah, that's from the Shaitan. Jazakallahu khairan. Any other questions? Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakallahu khairan.